with us only mid-April or perhaps a little bit later. It's about a human resources process, which is taking longer than expected.
Great, great. Well, it sounds like it's in the works anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know April's going by quickly already. So Pankaj is not joining us today because he's on his way to St. Louis for some meetings.
Okay.
But we also have a recruitment underway and we have some candidates applying and hopefully we can make some decisions on that soon.
Right.
Well, so Barry, welcome. Yeah. Barry's calling in from England, apparently.
That's right, yes. So I'm just up the road, Elizabeth.
Across the pond. And Barry, do you want to go over what you sent me?
So I'd like to say a few words in general about what I'm hoping we will do.
Okay.
So first of all, Elizabeth, I think that the trait ontology should be seen, and I think you will agree with this, as a trait ontology family. So we have one general trait ontology, and then we have a surrounding collection of Bali trait ontologies and so on. So yes. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
And then the idea is that the trait ontology should be completely generic. It should contain all and only those trait terms which are plant species neutral. Do you agree with that?
Okay, yes, in principle, but I would need to perhaps think about what is a trait which cannot be generic to all plant species.
So we may not achieve...
I'm sorry, hello, that's a great idea, but we have so many people that, you know, collaborators that use the plant trait ontology that we have,
the idea, the idea, I think, is that we should do what the gene ontology has been doing for some time. We have an editor's version of the ontology which follows the proper principles. And that editor's version we can test, we can experiment with for a number of years if necessary. I'm hoping it will all happen more quickly than this. But we shouldn't change the public version of the trait ontology until we're very clear that we know what we need to do. Now, one principle that the gene ontology is working on is that you should be able to infer the public version of the ontology from the editor's version, so that when the time comes to switch over to using the editor's version, what the public will see will be practically the same. So there, I believe that there will be some cleaning up at the edges, but there is cleaning up at the edges in any case because science changes and because needs change. So my experiment that I am proposing is that we try and create an editor's version of the trait ontology, which will be smaller than the existing version and which will include just the generic terms. And then the first job would be to work out what the generic terms are. And by generic, I don't mean that they apply to every plant species. I mean that they apply either to most plant species or to most typical plant species, something like that. So we shouldn't aim for 100% of everything. We should aim for something which is clearly going to be more generic than what we have now.
Right. And that's sort of the way we've done it in the plantology as well. We have an version and we have a live version.
Yeah. Yeah, and Laurel, you will confirm that the plant ontology efforts were not painful. You will confirm that the reform that we did of the plant ontology was not painful for the users of the plant ontology.
Well, not for the users, maybe.
Well, it was painful. It wasn't painful.
No, it was a good process to go through. And I think having an editor's version of the TO is definitely a good idea. It's something that we haven't really had the people to do yet.
So. And now I will say one more thing. I think that what the key to building the editor's version of the ontology is going to be formulating good definitions of the principal term. And I think that those good definitions can be moved over into the public version quite early in the process, because the definitions are going to work, whether it's the public version or the edited version in any case. So they will just be a rather rapid improvement.
Yeah, for sure. So Barry, I think you should be able to share your screen. Why don't you go over the slides that you sent me?
So I would prefer if you did that, actually, Laurel. I'm not in an office or anything. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I can put them up if you're happy to.
I'll just tell you when I need you to move on.
Okay, no problem. Let me just open them here. So does anybody have any comments? I see Justin's on the call now. Hi, Justin. Anybody have any, while I'm pulling this up, maybe we could just have any comments or feedback on Barry's suggestions there.
Yes, I could have a question just to
yes, please.
We understand. For example, if I take plant height, or lodging, or for example, grand yield, those could be the generic terms that
absolutely,
apply
yes.
to the maximum yes. of species. Okay. But if okay. I take weight of the bunch, which is very specific to banana, it's very specific to banana, a bunch. So you would propose the generic terms, and for terms which are more specific, it would be linked or...
Okay, then I have a question for Laurel. Is the term bunch a term in the plant ontology?
I'm sorry, what was the term?
Bunch.
Well, we would probably call it a collective infructescence or something like along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Does that work for banana?
Yeah,
I guess it does. Yeah. But so I think, Elizabeth, since you raised an interesting and difficult question, I will propose an interesting and correct answer. The correct answer is that we use the plant ontology term in the editor's version. We call it collective inflorescence weight. Okay. And then we have a synonym, which will be certainly in the published version of the TO, the version, the label that we use. We have bunch weight. So long as we have a generic equivalent from the plant ontology, which right. can be applied in principle to other species, I think we're okay. Now, now that I say that, I delete the word correct. I would say it's a tentative proposal. Now that I think it through, I'm just not sure it's correct. But we don't need to go into that. It's certainly the line of thinking that I would want us to experiment okay. with.
Right, okay. And that's definitely the principle that we've been using in the TO is we're, you know, the small amount of work that's been done on it is trying to reference the PO. And for example, all these terms for grain is a fruit. So things like fruit weight, more specific terms like grain yield, or not grain yield, but grain weight would be a child of fruit weight. And fruit weight is the more generic term there.
Good. And then
that's going back to the PO. Yeah. And as we go through this process, of course, we find things that we need to add to the PO.
Yeah.
And refinements that need to be made there.
Yeah, so do we have a bunch of the synonym of collective fruit of collective?
Yeah, so I just pulled that collective fruit structure out of my head.
Yeah. Okay, so you should make a note that we need to add that to the synonym.
Yeah.
And then I think that the general rule should be that where we find a case like bunch, we should make sure that there is at least a parent term in the TO editor's version, which uses generic terms taken either from the plant ontology or from PAYTO. Or from both of them.
We definitely have the term hand as a synonym in the PO because the bananas, you know how the bananas grow in one little clump?
Yeah.
Apparently that's a hand of bananas.
Okay.
And then I think the bunch, if I'm not, maybe you can fill me in, maybe the bunch is a collection of those.
Of those hands, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just pulling up the PO right now. Anyway, I don't want to get bogged down in discussing that.
But I think that
I wanted to understand how you would treat specific terms.
Right.
So, Elizabeth, I really do not want to make any rulings of any nature here. I'm interested merely that we have some general principles that we work towards. But I am, as Laurel will confirm, I am not the person to make rulings about the meanings of plant biology terms. And so that's up to you. So I don't want to do anything that you're not happy with. I just want to experiment with some steps, which I guarantee you will be happy with when you see the end result.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just looked up, I don't know if you guys can see my screen. In the PL, we do have bunch as a synonym for infructescence.
And do we have hand also?
I think hand is in there too.
Are we supposed to see your screen?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you not able to see it?
Can you see the toe screen? My toe screen.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was... Share a new window. Here we go. Thought it would switch when I switched my screen over here. So here's infructescence. Fruit bunch. It's the narrow synonym is banana bunch. So this has been kind of our procedure as we went through the PO is to add these. Let me just search for hand here. So a hand is defined as a second order infructescence. So that makes sense. Synonym matches hand of. So we do have those terms like bunch and hand. I knew we had hand. I wasn't sure about bunch.
Good.
It's been a while since we worked on these banana terms.
But so
go ahead.
So my proposed correct answer to the Elizabeth's challenge question now is that we have weight of fruit infructescence as a term in the toe editor's version, but we keep bunch weight and hand weight as terms in the banana trait ontology.
Right, right.
And then they would be defined as, and this is the beauty of this approach, they will be defined very simply. A bunch weight is the weight of a banana fruit infructescence. Where the weight of fruit infructescence is defined in toe, we just add the word banana to get the definition of the term in the banana type of trait ontology. And we do that for every single term where we can do it. So we take the toe term and add the plant variety. Now that's the goal. Whether we'll succeed is another story. How long it will take is another story. But the goal is the goal that we have to seek, because then instead of building 400 different species trait ontologies, we really just have to build one, and then everything else is automatic.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I think my screen is kind of frozen here. I was going to try to show you fruit weight here, but it's not.
Yeah, we can see fruit size now.
Yeah, it's the rest of the screen, the rest of the page loading. Yeah, so let's go back and look at your slides, Barry.
Okay, good. So the first step, and this should be a small experiment, is to choose a small number of clearly generic, non-problematic terms, and then create definitions. So these slides are really just how to create definitions.
Right, so this, and I think this is useful for us to go
through. This is a bad example. This is an example of what is not a definition. So it's a story, really, about
how
quality traits are classified and so forth. It's not a definition. So then we need to know what a definition is. So go to the next slide.
Let me just say something about this before we move on. Just for Elizabeth and Leo, and for my clarification. So Barry, this is from the TO, is what you got this from.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And this is the existing definition.
Yeah.
Right. And the quality traits haven't really been worked on.
Right. So
okay.
There we have a simple recipe, which is to use PATO as far as possible. But we can come to that later.
Okay.
So why is that a bad definition? The answer is that all the definitions are going to exist in two forms. One form will be for human beings, that will be in English or in French, and the other form will be in logical terms, which I don't know if Justin is going to do that work, but somebody will do that work sooner or later. And then once we have those definitions in logical terms, if they are formulated correctly, then they will support reasoning. So we can use the definitions to check the consistency of the ontology, the placement of the ontology, placement of terms in the ontology. We can use the definitions to enable the data that we have annotated with the ontology to be reasoned with, and so forth. There are many, many secondary uses which come if we have good definitions. And so the first rule is that definitions should be short. They should only contain what is needed to be a logical definition.
Right.
And if you go to the next slide.
Okay.
There's a very simple rule. So if you have a term, we're now going to define the term A, which might be fruit in banana in fructose or something. We need to know what is the parent term of A in the relevant ontology. And if A is the root node of the ontology, that's another story. But if A is a term somewhere in the middle of the ontology, it must have a parent. And that parent is B. And then what we need to know is, what is it about the Bs which makes them A? So we need the differentiating characteristic of Bs which make them A's. So Socrates defines a human as an animal which is rational. That's at the bottom. That means that, according to Socrates, what is characteristic about humans is that they're not just animals, they are animals which are rational. So similarly, if we want to know what is characteristic of a banana infructescens, we say it's an infructescens which is in a banana, or which is in a plant of the species banana, or something like that. So that is the recipe. It's a very simple recipe, and it has many good consequences, not just that it's simple. One good consequence is that it's a recipe which everyone can follow, and so you'll get more harmony between your different curators and definers and editors.
Right. We call this genus differentia format.
Yeah. Yeah, this genus differentia, Aristotelian definition, or two-part definition. They're all words for the same
right.
thing.
Right.
So A is the species, B is the genus, and C is the differentia. And now that the second definition is that we can use this recipe for, the second benefit is that we can use this recipe to find errors in our ontology. So if we find a term A in the ontology that clearly is not defined as a B which does something, then we've made a mistake. And so that is a very good supplementary route to quality control. So next slide.
Okay. Yes, and we've worked really hard in the plant ontology to get our definitions into this format. And it helped a lot.
Then also the second line here, it allows, that's the misprint, allows the ontology to control the correctness of the definition. So the ontology helps us to write good definitions, just as writing the definitions helps us to improve our ontology. But now, and this is the only important thing I'm going to say, this is the only thing which I'm going to say, which is anything like rocket science. The species genus approach only works if every term in the ontology has at most one single parent. Now, the root term doesn't have any parents, so we leave the root terms aside. The term at the top is, that's for another event. Every other term has to have one single parent, so we don't allow multiple parents. Remember, this is the editor's version. In the published version, we can have multiple parents. That's a completely different story. Here I'm calling the editor's version the assertive version. That's the version that we stand by. That we build, that we use as our authority. But the official, the public version can be different, as long as it's inferable from the asserted version. And we'll work on that later on. That's for something later. So that, I'll stop talking now and I'll let you ask questions.
Is that it? Okay.
For me, on my side, I think it was clear up to now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was this old news, Elizabeth? Should I move to the next stage?
Before we move on, Barry, let's look at an example, maybe.
Yeah. So what did I do on the next slide? Can you move to the next slide? So that we don't need that. That's just a more argument for the single inheritance. So next slide. Okay. So this is just what I said at the beginning. This was a critique. Here you see how the how we're wasting a lot of effort by putting very specific terms in what should be at a very generic place in the ontology. So, Laurel, do you want to find an example or just show an example?
I can show an example. So the quality branch admittedly needs a lot of work. So
yeah.
Let me just switch to a new window here.
So I'm
not sure if my TO browser is going to work on this. Let me see if this is going to work now. Okay. So the one area on the TO that we've kind of worked on quite a bit is on the anatomy and morphology traits, because of course they're the simplest ones. Mm-hmm. But you can see how this definition, for example, is structured in the genus differentia format. So we're defining what an anatomy and morphology trait is. It's a plant trait, and in our definitions, we're referencing the ID numbers, which is actually kind of a good habit because it really forces you to make sure you're using actual ontology terms in your definitions. So we define the anatomy and morphology trait as a plant trait. So that's the genus. It's a child, plant trait associated with the anatomy or morphology of any of these structures.
Yeah.
Somebody's mic is. It can either be associated with a plant anatomical entity, one or more cellular constituent cellular component, which is contained.
No, I'll try that. Okay, I'll say thanks, Flo. Thanks, Flo.
You're someone on the Zoom meeting,
Hang on one sec.
There's some background noise.
Yeah, I can mute the other. Okay, so that's just an example of, and Leo or Elizabeth, do you have any questions about how, and this, I think this is maybe a better example than the quality one. And then in the
I use the quality ones just to show how it should be organized.
They do need a lot.
I'm going to need to leave now, I'm afraid. Yeah. So
okay,
I will be able to talk at greater length at the next session.
Great. Thank you, Barry.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
The introduction.
Okay, so I mean this is actually helpful even for me to hear again, because it's always good to get a refresher. And this Barry's comments about the single parentage is important too, and that's something we've kind of struggled with in the TO. Mm-hmm. But so we'll have to, you know, I think he was aiming these comments more maybe at both of our groups, but more kind of at things that he sees in the TO that maybe a new way of working in the TO. Up to this point, we haven't had an editor's version. But, you know, as we move ahead with it, it's definitely something we should perhaps consider. So, Leo, do you have any questions, or Elizabeth, about Barry's? I can go back to the presentation that Barry gave, or...
No, I don't have any question, but I will definitely remember this recipe for making new defining traits in the future.
Yeah, and you know, in the anatomy ontology, like in the PO, we've really worked hard to get everything into the genus differentia format. And as Barry said, it really does help you. And I have to admit, there are a few cases in the PO where we do have dual parentage, but we try not to. The TO is a different story. The trait ontology is a different story, but that's the best. It's good to know what the best practices are. And then if you can't follow them all the time, that's understandable, but at least we know what they are. So.
Laurel.
Yeah.
My comments would be that the traits we have in our specific ontologies, club specific ontologies, were taken out of either publications, or the most agreed definition that breeders can understand. So this, you would call that a comment, or because what we call a definition, is it really what you call a definition in an ontology? As Barry mentioned, it must help with the reasoning in the end. So I will...
Well. Still, I think it's a goal to work towards. Let's look at an example, Elizabeth. Do you have one that you'd like to, I'll pull up the crop ontology here. Like, let's maybe look at the, what's a good one to look at for an example? Because I think it's always easier, maybe rice, because rice.
No, rice is not yet good, I think. Perhaps another cereal, if you like.
Maybe so maize.
Maize.
Okay.
Maize.
Yeah. So let's just look at an agronomic trait because that's probably.
Yeah, it's a complex.
So I don't know what's a good one.
Like one, I don't know. So you see the definition here. I don't know if this really comply with, if I look at ER growth in trait ontology, do we comply with the definition in CO? If not, how do we treat that? Because most probably our users are used to that definition, which is sometimes a definition on the measurement as well. So.
Yeah, you know, in the application ontologies, there's always going to be a lot more detail.
Yeah.
You know, like your ear dry weight is the weight of an ear taken after drying 60 to 70 degrees Celsius for 1 to 2 days. You could still modify these slightly to make them a little bit more in that genus differentia format by saying an agronomic trait, which is the weight of an ear. We call ear an ear infructescence in the PO. So the modification would be like naming it as an agronomic trait, which is its parent term, correct?
Mm-hmm.
An agronomic trait, which is the weight of an ear infructescence referencing the PO term after drying it, blah, blah, blah.
Because what we could think is to annotate the definition, as you mentioned, is probably put when you have ear to put the PO.
Yes.
So you start annotating the definition, but really we cannot change that definition because this is the definition that readers will find in their field books. While the definition we are aiming at having in the threat ontology is more the definition that will support the ontology to work. So we probably need to think on how to keep our application definition compared to the reference definition.
Right.
Threat.
Well, and you know, maybe we need to think about, see, it's important for us to kind of understand how the crop ontologies are being used as well. So you're saying that this actually is visible to the person that's working with it in the field book?
Yeah, when you create a field book using the integrated breeding platform system, you have a list of trait concepts, but of course you have the definition of that trait, and for the field book after you can access the description of the method.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea is that when the readers go in the field with their template, which can be an Excel file or an application, if he clicks on a trait name, he will access the definition if he needs to be reminded. And he can access the method on how to measure it and the unit on which unit to use.
Right.
So for us, it's really at the use level. That's why if we have a definition that is more ontologically compliant, we may be a bit far from the understanding of the breeder. So that's why we need to think about that.
Well, do you think that would be confusing to them if it says an agronomic trait, which is the weight of an ear infructescence taken after drying it, blah, blah, blah?
It will be different. We need to ask them if this is for them the same understanding.
The beauty of this is when you see the definition out of context, you know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, so Elizabeth, this is something we can think about as we move forward. I mean, maybe we have another field we could add where we could have like the ontology definition.
Yeah, I think that would be good, because I'm thinking about our workshop, and I remember that we had a definition of a rice trait, and a breeder told me, this is not the definition I'm using for that trait. It's another definition used for variety registration. So there are different ways of defining the trait according to the use. So I think the best would be, like for the concept, is to have an ontological definition, which is the reference definition, and have the application definition that you would only see when you build your field book, for example.
Yeah.
Something like that.
One way to possibly, and I don't know exactly how your field book works with your ontology, but one way to maybe do it would be to have, you know, just thinking about how it works in OboEdit would be to have a definition and then have this in the comment and have the comment show up to them instead of the actual definition. So
at the moment,
so there is, you know, we can think of or have an alternate. I don't know how you could put in an alternate definition.
I don't know.
But because the way we do it in the TO is we put it in the comment. You know, we put more detailed description. Of course, this example is the ontology terms, but
the field book has to remain as simple as possible because this
right. is right. But what I'm saying is, you know, in the mechanics there, maybe we can tweak it so that this definition shows up to the users, but behind that would be the ontology definition as well that they wouldn't have to see, right?
Yeah, we need
we to show them what they're familiar with and what they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we keep a link to the reference ontology for our purpose.
Yeah. So, you know, there's lots of complexities in how this would work. But anyway, in theory, that's the principle. You know, Barry's coming from a very high level of the ontology.
Yeah.
We're spanning quite a broad.
I understand, yeah.
Yeah. But it's you know, it's really helpful to hear kind of what the best practices are, I think. And then we can take those lessons and apply them to what we need to do.
Exactly. And as long as we understand the scope of application of those best practices, it's fine. If those best practices are good for getting a good semantic ontology, then we can apply. But after, perhaps this cannot apply along the chain for creating a field book for a breeder for field measurement.
Yeah.
It has to be behind the scene for them, probably. But at our level, we can agree, of course, on those.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, there's a ton of work to be done on the reference trait ontology too, and so it's helpful to think about these things. You probably wouldn't be creating logical definitions in your reference, I mean, in your application ontology.
I don't think so.
So those comments about that were more aimed at, you know, at the reference trait ontology. So, okay, well, let's see what else is on our list for discussing today. Let me see my email here. So maybe we should talk really quickly about the response to Clément. And Pierre, I just got a comment back from you this morning. You looked at the Google Doc. Let me pull it up here and maybe we
can. Yeah, I'm editing on it immediately to not lose.
I think it's this one.
So what I did was to add what Pankaj suggested to be more positive.
Right. I thought that was a good suggestion, yeah.
Yeah, because it was quite negative. It's true. Then I didn't change much. I just put up some of the sentences about the fact that we are late. And then I didn't change that part. I just add a fourth point, I guess. Yeah, that's my suggestion. Because the 2 points, sub-points you added were more focused on the proposal itself and what Clément is suggesting. So it shows that we have been into the document itself.
Right.
But what we suggest is specific remarks on the prototype shared. Is it fine for you? But if you want to edit
No, I think that's a good, I see what you're, I wasn't understanding your comment before, but now it makes sense. So you added this specific remarks on the prototype shared.
Yeah, to make an introduction to your 2 points. Yes. But if you want to edit those sentences, because I don't know if it reads well for someone who was not in our discussion.
So,
because the second comment, it's fine. It's more the first one where I'm...
Okay, so let's look at this first one. So what my thoughts were was, so the existing prototype right now includes a lot of other ontologies.
Yeah.
And so for searching and so on, it's a bit awkward. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, if their intention is to create a plant-specific one, we don't really want to have all. Should we look at it? I don't know if I have a link.
In fact, it's my comment. I just put in my comment. Do you mean that the prototype shared by Clément should only present ontology of interest for plants and not create a subgroup within other ontologies?
Right. Because in order to do anything with that instance that they shared with us, you have to pull out the subgroup, and then it's awkward in terms of doing searches and so on.
Yeah, okay. So because they mentioned to us that this is an instance for a crop ontology, so we should immediately enter into the plant ontology world. Right.
That was my thoughts there, yes.
Okay, so it's clarified. And then I think that's all what I did. The last point was what was written. And I just added in black the sentence package that data sets will be available from right. Planteo. And then, and that's it. I think it's...
So, okay, so one thing, Elizabeth, I put in this comment about the ontologies need to be properly referenced, because I'm a little bit concerned the way that Clément has it set up with his name on all of them as the contact.
Okay, reference, you mean citation and attribution.
Yeah.
Okay, I say that.
And I think he's just got his name on them all, but it's confusing to people because if someone from outside comes to it,
he didn't realize that, this could be shared with other people, and also he did that quickly, and he's an informatics by background, he's more an informatics person, so probably didn't.
Let's just look at it together real quick. I'm sorry I don't have this up yet, but I can pull it up really quick. Do you have a link to it?
It was in the document. The thing is,
is it in the document?
I need to exit. Yeah, in the document shared by Clément, it was, but exit screen.
We had it on. You know where? I bet I have it. I have it in the minutes from last week. Sorry that I don't have this up already. From the last week meeting, because we talked about it last week. Here it is. Here.
You have it because I just
draft prototype. Here we go. No, it's this one. You know, we should probably put the link in our doc. And we can all refer to it. Here, I'll put it in here. Oops, I don't need to do that. There, let's open it. Okay, I'll show you what I was talking about here on those 2 points. So when you open this, can you all see the screen now?
Yes.
Okay, good. So when you open this and you go to browse, you have to sort by the group.
Yeah.
This is what I was talking about. So it'd be nice to have, now it says nothing. That's weird.
Yeah, I understand what you meant. In fact, it's more.
So, you know, it takes a little fiddling. I don't know why it's not here. Crops related ontologies. Now it's not working. That's weird. Yeah, so my comment was just that we would need to have a specific set.
Yeah, you would like when you hit that page that all groups are not there. It's just directly the crop ontology.
Right. Because he, you know, this has got all the animal and human stuff in it. And I mean, it would be also good to have the things like Envo and Go and the germplasm. Well, that's yours. But not like Medline. And all these extra things just add it, you know, make it slower and make it more difficult to browse. And I was having some problems trying to search it, but my concern was, so like the plant ontology, so if we go to the plant ontology page, see, he has himself listed as the contact.
Yeah, because probably it's a default when he logs in or something.
Yeah, perhaps, but that's a little bit of concern to me, and this is also in the, you know, we're also working with them on with the Wheat IS. So this is something I noticed with the version that we're using for the, and I think it's the same version.
Yeah, so they should be.
He should maintain the reference that's listed on the BioPortal version. So that was what my comment there was, that we needed a specific group and they need to be properly referenced. And then the updating automatically is not a problem. We can set up, you know, through an API or whatever. Yeah. But we don't want another place where we have to kind of maintain these. So I don't think that's a big problem. But the referencing is important because if people have questions,
referencing is important.
Yeah.
We make sure it's properly allocated.
Yeah. And then I wasn't clear, and I didn't get a chance to talk to Pankaj about this, but I wasn't clear what his problem was with this point. What was his comment?
They were not very supportive about the tools on the BioPortal in general. No? I think that's bad.
The second bullet point in red is very confusing. Can someone rewrite? And then
I think Laurel, it was more your first sentence about the instance, because probably Pankaj had no time to look at the prototype, so
maybe
he couldn't put that into the context while I could. So I think he was more referring to those.
But this is the second bullet point, though. So, but maybe he doesn't know what I'm talking about the viewer. So the viewer is missing from this. Do you know what I mean by the viewer?
Okay.
The viewer is the one tool in BioPortal that I use a lot. I'll show you.
I think I know. I think it's even you who showed me.
It's like a Adobe Flash. If I go here.
Yeah.
But it's actually quite handy. And so I think the addition of the viewer would be helpful. No, I don't want to do that. Okay, hang on. And perhaps that's what he didn't understand was why I was mentioning the
viewer. Because Pankaj is not the user of those.
Yeah.
But Clément should know what you're talking about. Thank you.
Hopefully this will work today. Okay. This is why BioPortal is kind of mind-boggling here. I don't know if this is going to work. I just wanted to browse. Come on. The new look is interesting.
It's the new version, isn't it?
Yeah.
It looks different than usual. Because you have the number of hits, you have some summary data, statistics.
So, yeah, and they've got here, plant ontology. Let's just go in here real quick. So when you come to BioPortal and you click on that, that didn't work either. Maybe it's not working on that one either. That's interesting.
But the viewer doesn't exist anymore.
That's weird, huh? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about is, you know, when you can move the boxes around?
Yeah.
That's a really handy tool.
You showed me something a long time ago about it, and I don't remember, but yeah.
And so I've used it for making figures and things when it was working. So that's interesting. It doesn't need to be working in here either.
We can ask the question to Clément. Perhaps he knows.
Yeah. I know it's hard to describe something to someone if you It used to be on this link.
You could even perhaps post a question on the bioportal.
Yes, I will actually, because I kind of like that.
It seems to be generic.
So that's what I was referring to in terms of the viewer. And the mapping and annotator tools, I think, will work better if we don't have all those other ontologies in there.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's confusing, because sometimes the problem with the mapping tools is sometimes it picks up things from other ontologies.
Yeah, I understood that Barry was not a big fan at all of the mapping tool of BioPortal, or mapping tool in general anyway. So.
Yeah. But of course, Barry's not using it. He's kind of coming at it from a whole different level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we do use.
So I think, you know, I think we could, I don't know if we need to go into much more explanation. If you have any other comments, we could put them here.
I think that's enough for them. No.
And then the last two comments.
Perhaps if Clément and Pierre have questions, we can open at the end, saying that if they have some question on our comments, they can contact us.
We could have a conference call with them. Yeah. So I think this first comment is great. This one.
So this was what we.
Yeah. The second one. My understanding of this comment about progress made on the BioPortal site will be assessed at the end of the first year. My understanding was what Pankaj meant there was we would assess, you know, if they went ahead with this for a year, we would assess where they were at, not on the main site, but on the Lemon site.
I think on both. Because they are also improving the main portal. There was a new release done recently.
Right, but Clément is not working on that, though.
No, but I was thinking that you wanted to assess both.
Well, my understanding of what Pankaj said on the conference call last week was that we assess where they were at after a year and perhaps move into a fuller collaboration with them at that time.
I'm looking at my notes.
And yeah, and I put that in the, let me see, do I have the, let's let me go. Yeah.
Because the idea is also that if we publish on the BioPortal, then all the pipelines using BioPortal as a source will use the reference ontologies.
So if the notes from the call last week, so I put down, the planiome is still in the early stages at this point, and we have much work to do on it in both the reference ontologies and the crop-specific ontologies. We cannot commit to using this portal, but we're interested in seeing the development of it, and we'll assess it in about a year to see if we should have a more formal collaboration. So that... we weren't talking about the main portal. We were talking about this plant
experiment
portal. Yeah.
The experiment.
Yeah.
So
the experimental portal.
You would remove the last, the second bullet point.
So I might tweak this. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I could maybe do that when we get off the phone.
Okay, so I get the latest version from that Google Drive.
Okay. I beg your pardon? Sorry.
I will get the latest version of the mail from the Google Drive because you will make the edits.
Right. And if we have to, if anyone else wants to comment on this, they can have the link to it. I didn't want to send it out to everyone, the whole bombard everyone with it. But I think, one other thing we should talk about is, do you think this is okay putting it in? Because Chris has actually been involved. He's been commenting on it.
Yeah.
I thought it.
And he sent a mail saying that he agrees.
Right.
He agrees, so I think it's fine.
So maybe I should just take the brackets off.
Yeah. You can add his name.
Yeah.
As long as he has read the mail, it's fine for me. It's just that I'm always very cautious to name people who are not.
Right. And you know, Chris actually responded to me when I first sent that out about the meeting last week.
Okay.
So he has been, even though he wasn't at the meeting, he was kind of involved with the discussions offline. So I think it's fine.
As long as he said fine, it's fine.
And he said fine, yes. Yeah, we did get his comment back on it. So I think that's good. So let's just go ahead and see what's next here. Justin's sending some comments in. So, Leo, you're having some issues.
Yes, with the SVN. I didn't manage to do the checkout of the repository.
Yeah. Are you on your computer now?
No, I'm not.
He's on mine.
Yeah. So you know what I would suggest? Maybe you and Justin, after we get off the call here, maybe you and Justin could work on this together.
Okay.
Would that work for you?
Laurel, perhaps tomorrow would be good because it's
late. Yeah, they can do it whenever. I'm sorry, Justin's trying to say something here. Go ahead.
A couple minutes ago, I sent an email with instructions on how we can work go forward on troubleshooting it.
Okay, thanks, Justin.
And so I saw that you accepted my Skype request this morning. It's evening now, but yeah, Leo, can you give us any information about what you've been doing on the Rice Ontology, though?
Over the last week, I haven't done anything because I'm blocked on my side. We split the tasks between Rurait and I, and it's on Rurait's side to go forward. So I'm waiting for his contribution. And we've sent one reminder already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Red seems very busy at that time.
Right. But, in general terms, what kind of things are you doing?
Okay. I have been working on the cassava ontology because the curator has submitted new terms, so I'll just review them. The cowpea ontology, we have a Skype meeting tomorrow, so I'm preparing the ground, looking at what has already been done, because actually as I took over the position of Harold, I'm not familiar with all the ontologies at the moment.
Sure.
I'm also discussing with the curator of the banana ontology because, yeah,
that's great.
She has a very practical idea. She's very far from Barry's high level perception of ontologies. She just wants to have terms to annotate her own data, and it's not very. Well, we have to agree on the methodology because she doesn't produce terms that are generic. I should put it like this.
Well, I think that's fine for this level, you know.
Yeah, the banana plant and trait ontology has been put up quite quickly by Ryan and Christian and Inge van den Berg. And they want to revise that because now they are entering a new evaluation phase. And then Ryan is currently in Australia testing the threats with breeders. So she's improving what we have online at the moment.
That's great.
So we
That's
are great. Discussing with her how to do that at best.
Yeah.
So Leo is in fact pushing the threat dictionaries of all crops. Because this is the task he has to do for the integrated building platform, and so he moves on according to the feedback of the curator, of course. So like Rurait is very busy, so for the moment Rice is a bit pending. We will give a deadline, but in the meantime he is pushing other crops. So mainly it was cowpea, banana,
and common bean
and cassava.
That's great. It's great that you're getting a chance to talk to all these different. You guys have so many people scattered around the world.
Yeah, that's the thing. And they are not all available same time, or they don't have exactly same perception of the work to do. So we have scheduled Skype calls. tomorrow, for example, we'll talk with Sam about the cowpea, trying to get that in a proper shape.
Who's doing the cowpea again? I couldn't understand what you said.
You can click on cowpea. You will see the attribution is there. You have the name.
Osame. Osame. I'm not sure how to say
Sam.
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 Sam. I think I met him. So, well, that's great. So the rice is kind of on hold right now. But what I was curious about is what your goals are with the rice trade ontology. I mean, I know you've been working with Rory. My question actually was more kind of like, in general, what are the things that are being done in the rice ontology? You were saying that you have some tasks and Rory has some tasks. Are you revising the upper level terms? Are you adding more specific terms? Or
I can probably answer instead of Leo, who is very new. He's just started, so he's getting acquainted to all those status of the dictionaries. In fact, in PAG, I had a specific meeting with Rored. We went through his Excel file together, and he just said that the current ontology is twisted. It's not complete. And what has been done before was not really dated and certainly not compliant to what breeders are measuring. Actually, in the moment, Erie is developing its own database. We had a presentation in PAG about, I don't remember, it's before rice or no, it's another, see, breeding for rice, it's before rice. So there is a team of developers developing a database where they would like to link genotype and phenotype. And then they were obliged to revise all their traits. And Rored's task is to confirm the traits with the breeders. And apparently it's quite difficult for him to meet with them. He has to confirm some of the scales he put. So he has some detailed work on the trait itself to do. And we cannot do that for him because he's the guy. So I wrote to him, giving the name of the lady that Pankaj suggesting. That she would be interested to help, but I have no reply. The other person who could be involved, but I think he delegated everything to Red, was Ken McNally. Ken is currently more, I think, managing the SNP data, the 3K data. So from him, I have no news, direct news. But what Red was in charge of was to give us a proper trade dictionary for our site. And unfortunately, it's very, very slow.
That's fine. So that sounds good. I appreciate that update, Elizabeth, just so I kind of know where things are, and when Pankaj asks me what's happening,
because the thing is, Leo was hired by the IBP to continue Harold's work, but certainly to continue providing quality trade dictionaries for the breeding management system. So the role of Leo is more focusing on the application of the ontology.
Right.
Marie should be the person more liaising with the Planteum objectives.
Right. And once she comes on board, you'll have an extra pair of hands to start working on all these things. And I'm looking forward to when we get another person on our side as well. That'll be really helpful because I've been very shorthanded for a long time. So I certainly understand the limitations you guys are under. So, you know, whatever we can do to help, if would you like to have a separate meeting tomorrow, Leo, and talk with Justin some more, because I know it's getting a little late there. What do you want to do?
Justin just said that he sent an email with some instructions, so maybe I could try the instructions, and if it doesn't solve my issue, maybe a meeting would be good.
I think his email is kind of more questions and also some instructions, because it's what helpful for him to know what system you're using and so on.
Yep.
So maybe we should let you two communicate on that.
Yeah. Okay.
And
I have a question, in fact, for the technical side. So we can upload on the SVN, because the GitHub that was always mentioned by Pankaj that will be the repository is not yet ready to do so.
Right, right. It's still in the early stages of being set up, actually. We had a meeting on Friday about it. And you know, so I wouldn't worry too much about starting with SVN and then transferring over to GitHub. That shouldn't really be any problem. The practices will be very similar.
Okay.
Yeah. And what we actually decided to do on Friday, we had a meeting with Chris and talked about GitHub quite a bit and how to proceed with it. And what we're going to actually do is start with the reference trait ontology there. And I'm going to start working with it using the GitHub so that I can get familiar and then I can help everyone else.
My question was that, for example, for Cassava, the IITA, the AFOLA is maintaining both. It's maintaining a trait dictionary as an Excel file, so it's perfect for our site, but it still maintains the OBO file. Because he was one of the curator trained and he likes to use it. So he's still using it.
Yeah.
But this OBO file should be available to a large audience. So I was wondering if you need to start testing it with us. Perhaps we could test if AFOLA agrees, we use his OBO file as the first OBO file to be uploaded on the GitHub. And he could, AFOLA is more techie than other creators, so if you need to also to ask him to test the access, perhaps we can.
Yeah. I would actually recommend putting it, you know, kind of keeping them together as a group on the SVN, and then what we'll do eventually is move the whole group over. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but, you know, getting people used to using the SVN is a good idea. And this... The GitHub repository will work in the exact same process. And Justin, be sure to feel free to comment here if you want. I mean, this is kind of my understanding that we talked about on Friday.
Yeah, sorry. I think my mic is on a weird delay. But yeah, the functionally SVN and Git work very similar to the user. Their difference is mostly in the way they work on the backside, which you guys won't have to worry about.
No.
But if you want, Elizabeth, we could make a folder for the Cassava on the SVN.
Yeah.
And
because we could start testing how we work as a group using this SVN.
Yeah.
And also because the SVN is more for feeding our collaboration, but perhaps not for external partners to access the OBO file, isn't it?
Well, all of our external collaborators use it. I mean, not all of them, but a lot.
For example, if Cornell needs the OBO file of Cassava, you wouldn't tell them to go on your SVN.
If it's maintained there, you could.
Because I see that there is a lot of comments on what is going on the thread and things. So I thought it was more for curation than for
for both. You know, we have links that for example, the BioPortal version, we just have a link to the SVN, and whenever it changes on the SVN, it's automatically uploaded at BioPortal.
Okay.
So there's lots of different ways you can use it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's very handy for the curators, but for example, we set up a folder called Crop Ontology, and we made a folder for the rice, maize, and wheat traits. And I could make one for the cassava as well, very easily. For example, if we go in here, I'll just use the rice as an example because it's the only one that has anything in it. This link to head line, if you click there.
You want to click the download, not the view.
I'm sorry?
Use the download, not the view.
I just wanted to show you the view gate.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah. I'll stop interrupting.
I mean, the download works as well, but the idea with the head is you always get the most recent version. And so this, you can look at the most recent version. And then as Justin mentioned, let me go back one more. If you click download, then you get a link to it. And so this link always takes you to the most current version of the ontology that's there. So this is the kind of thing that we have set up at like various places where the PO or the TO are used. And they have this link, and whenever it's uploaded, it always gets the most current version. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I don't want to get too distracted, you know, and get sidetracked working on, you know, I'm happy to help with, if that would be helpful for your collaborator with the cassava, we could certainly make
a noble file. We know is very much updated, and
yeah, well, sure. Justin, could you create a folder for the cassava? It's cassava traits, right?
The only thing I wanted to know is, because we can develop that at our level, is that we need to serve the OBO files to end users using shadow databases. So I think it's, we have to think on how to do that.
I don't think it's any problem. It doesn't change the file in any way.
No.
No.
But it's where we store it.
Right. But, you know, like, we serve our ontologies to the Solanaceae genome network, mm-hmm. and they're all in Chado. So it shouldn't be a problem. Who's using the Chado network or Chado database?
Lucas Miller and the breeding platform.
Right. So that's the same group. That's the same group I was thinking of. Yeah, it doesn't have any, it's no problem. I mean, it doesn't mean they can't get it from here. Normally, would they come here and get it, Elizabeth? To the crop ontology site?
You can have them from our site, yes.
Yeah, and they're using an API, are they, or?
I think the API, yes, some of them, they use the API.
Yeah.
Well, if you go back to folders there now.
Oh, wow, that was fast. That's why I asked you to do it. Let me just refresh. So there we have cassava traits there. So if he, you know, if he wants to play around with it, that's great. And I mean, it doesn't mean you have to change where your people are coming to. Yeah.
Where do you have the cassava traits from our site?
We just made a folder for it.
Okay, so it's empty. So
yeah, it's empty right now.
We can put the version that Afola sent to us. So you have the latest OBO version.
Oh, okay. Cassava. Yeah. Okay. Maybe Leo could upload it, or you could upload it if it is access working, or I can do it if you send it to me.
Well, I think it's a good exercise for testing just in instruction.
Yeah, and just getting used to how the SVN works is great.
Yeah. And I liked your idea, Laurel, of making the versioning of Chad dictionaries on the CSV files, because that's really what most curators use.
Yeah.
Most curators use Excel files.
Right. So we could have a folder for that, and one folder for that, and one folder for the OBO file if you want. Yeah, it's no problem. Okay. Yeah, and those would version no problem, and then you could easily see what's changed and so on. That's really the beauty of the SVN. Like, let me go up a little bit here. So let's go to the TO. Once we get the TO moved over to GitHub, we'll be able to do similar things, but I can never find things in here because the hierarchy is so weird. Okay, so in the trait ontology, so this is our working file, the trait.obo. And I'll just show you. So this is what we do. When I work on the ontology, I do an update so I have the most current version on my computer, and then I make these changes, and I keep a text file open, just in like like a text editor open, and I kind of make a copy of the changes in there. And then when I'm ready to do the commit, I just copy that into the comment field so that we have some notes about what's been changed. And sometimes these are, you know, sometimes these are quite detailed, and sometimes they're just like, oh, fixed a couple minor typos, fixed links to SourceForge trackers. Here's some notes about kernel row number I was working on. Here's a change I made, and then I had to change back. So some of them, you know, can be quite detailed. But then when you want to, the beauty of this is when you want to look. So say I wanted to know what these typos were that I fixed. I can just look at this link here. Shows you the difference to the previous version. And you can see really easily what was changed. And it shows who did the revision, when it was done. So the yellow lines are the ones that have been changed. So you can say the definition was changed from assay to determine the size of a, see there's a typo here in starch. And I just changed it to assay to determine that I fixed the spelling on starch. So, and these are actually, these numbers refer to the actual lines in the ontology. So you can go and it'll pull up the, I don't know if it'll work out because my Wi-Fi is kind of slow here, but. But anyway, I just wanted to show you this to, yeah, then you can see the lines and who made the revisions and, yeah. And my understanding is that GitHub will work in a similar way. So
it does, yes.
Yes. Okay. So just a couple real quick questions before we get off. Elizabeth, you will not be here next Tuesday, correct?
No,
Will you be here next Tuesday?
Yes, I will.
Great. So I think we should plan to meet next Tuesday and talk about, you know, I think it's helpful just to really meet weekly if we can, if you're around. And then next Thursday is the all hands meeting.
So, when you have all everybody. Yeah,
yeah, okay. I mean, yeah. It's probably not going to be everybody, but it'll be lots of people anyway.
The bigger group.
Yeah, and the idea with the all hands meeting is we'll have a report from each of the groups from the ontology group. So if you could send me a little, you know, a comment, or if Leo can be there and make the report on your behalf, Elizabeth, that would be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it sounds like it basically be, you know, just kind of what's going on with the hiring and where we are with the ontologies. And, you know, maybe by then, maybe hopefully you'll have SVN access working. That would be great. And we can follow, you know, just kind of a summary of what's going on your end would be helpful. And there was something else I was going to ask. Oh, and the other thing I want to ask, Elizabeth, was I'm kind of unsure about how to proceed with dealing with Rosemary and Kate. Kate indicated she's really busy, you know, and I don't want to bug them about meeting with us if, you know.
I think, for the moment, what I understood is that they are very, very busy with the first deployment of the breeding management system at CIMIT, and Rosemary and Kate are very involved in that. So it's what I understood from CIMIT. But it depends. We should probably clarify what we really expect from our collaboration and from them, and if we agree on how to, on what we would like them to contribute, perhaps we can explain and see what is feasible.
Yeah.
So I know that they are busy with that.
So maybe I won't try to get a meeting with Rosemary or Kate
Most of the wheat trait must be mapped to TO because Rosemary was the first one to do that. So I suppose she has been continuing. I didn't check if it's completed.
When you say map to the TO, would that be in the
cross reference? I mean,
yeah, looks like some work has been done on it.
Oh, she has been doing that since.
Some work. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. There's a few that have been cross-referenced,
Yeah, because Rosemary originally, she works with the Oboidit.
This Green Yield has. So, yeah. We really need to get people off of calling it the Gramine Trait Ontology, though.
Yeah. But you know that this is Rosemary made that probably in 2010 or so.
Yeah. So some of these need to be updated as the traits have have changed. Okay, well, I won't worry about trying to meet with them, but let's plan to, Leo, for sure, you and I and maybe whoever else is around next Tuesday.
But
catch base before the all hands meeting would be helpful.
Laurel, what could help us is, you know that you were clicking on growth habits and it's hyperlinked to TO2756. Uh-huh. But it still goes to Grameen because I have no informatics developers with me to correct that hyperlink. Uh-huh. So could you give us the proper link we should be putting behind those hyperlinks? So we are sure we click where we should be clicking.
Yes, that
not in the old Grameen version.
Can Leo help you with that now?
Yeah, I think I can do it.
You could change the link.
Yeah.
Okay. I will definitely do that. So we need to think about. We probably want to link to the Plantium site. Or do we want to link to the dev version? The problem with the Plantium site is it's the TO on there is kind of out of date. So maybe it's better to come to this one that I'm showing here. But I don't want you guys to have to change it twice. So maybe we need to think about this a little bit.
Yeah, okay. No, so we don't touch it yet. But once we, because I think that perhaps we may, even if Leo can change it automatically, we may have to test if everything is going well with a change of a link. So I wouldn't change it twice. Indeed.
Yeah. The other thing we could do is link to our development site for the TO or for the, it still says CROP on here. We're trying to get CROP out of the lingo here and call it Plantium. So this has the, Justin, just remind me, this version updates nightly?
I believe so, yes. But it doesn't have any annotations.
No, it doesn't have any annotations, but that's okay. It has the definitions. Let me see if it has the date.
That's right, yeah.
But in fact, what was also the interest of linking on Grameen was that we could access the annotations. That's what scientists liked in that hyperlink between crop ontology and trait ontology on Grameen. When you click, you have the name, but you also have the annotations.
Yeah, so maybe it's better to link to the Plantium website where the annotations are. I don't know why my computer's running. Yes. Okay, well, that's something we'll definitely think about that.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want you guys to have to do it twice. You have to change the link for every single term?
I think you can do that by bunch, no? Batch? Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's a routine on the server side. So I can do it once. But then the question would be to check that every link is working well.
Yeah.
I think it will be done stepwise when we go to a trait, we check that systematically.
Yeah, we could just do it as we're working through.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, there's how many terms are in the wheat ontology here? Let's take a look. Do we have a...
The counter is on the homepage.
Oh, okay, right. Wheat, 640. Oh, so there's a fair number. Okay, well, I won't bother those guys right now while we're getting things kind of set up. I'm pretty interested in the wheat and the maize on trait ontologies.
Leo is telling me that the counter on the OBO file counts everything, so perhaps you have less traits than 640. The counter works on the trait dictionaries, but less on the ontology, because a node is complex in an ontology.
Meaning it includes the method of and the scales.
Perhaps it's less than 600.
Maybe it's only about 200 if they all have methods and scales.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's great.
So I think we have to go, but
that
was an interesting, fruitful discussion.
Yes, it was very helpful, and thank you for staying and talking with us tonight. And it's morning here, and it's evening there.
So now you can get a coffee before going to the office.
Get down to the day, get our day going. So that's wonderful. And thank you, Justin, for coming early today.
Sure.
Thank you, Justine.
Yeah. And so I'll put some notes on the wiki page about our call today, and maybe Justin and Leo, we can arrange a talk tomorrow.
And Laurel, what is the third Windows call Planteum project? This is because you record, you have a third, like a third participant. I see Justin, you and something called Planteum project. Or do you have?
That's me.
It's you also. Okay, I thought it's perhaps it was for recording our discussion. Okay.
No, that's just me. I didn't change the, it used to always say Pankaj because it's in his name, but I think he changed the name to Planteum Project, so I didn't worry about changing it this morning.
Okay, good. Okay, just to know.
Okay, great.
Thank you all and have a nice day.
Yeah, great. And maybe before we hang up, Justin, do you and Leo want to plan when to meet tomorrow or?
Let's see what happens or after he goes through my email and answers those questions, and maybe that'll give me an idea what the problem is with that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that, and if it doesn't work, we can plan a meeting for the day after tomorrow.
Day after. Okay. Well, day after tomorrow is Thursday. And Thursday we have the – oh, no, we don't have an all-hands meeting on Thursday. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. I'm getting a week ahead of myself. Okay, great.
Bye-bye. Have a nice day.
Bye.
Peace.